As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada, across North America, and around the globe in the World Wide Web, this is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, 11-time Canadian Rally Manufacturer's Champion, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, engineered to excite. Presented by our good friends and partners, Subaru Canada, we be your national radio motorsport authority, the Raceline Radio Network, Eric Thomas, host and Yak Master, Lisa Pulaski, our Supreme Commander and Raceline Master Control, Vic Politian mans the network controls this week for us. Coming up in the land of David, catching up with three-time CASCAR NASCAR champion, American-Canadian Tour standout, and Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame soon-to-be inductee David Whitlock, who after a stellar 24 years of racing has a serious health battle on his hands. Canadian David Bowen of Bowen & Bowers talks about his work with Herta Andretti Autosport to keep Indy 500 winner Alex Rossi on the track in the IndyCar Series. We reflect back on the all-star career and tragic loss of dirt track star Brian Clausen, and we scan more of your entries for the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, your chance at the grand prize pack. In the race wrap, as all three big series take the week off, F1 Mercedes boss Toto Wolff thinks the FIA is forgetting about their ticket-buying fans. Is he right? And the Raging Cajun is the top dog at the Knoxville Nationals. So for race fans across Canada and U.S. border states, powerful sport, powerful radio for 24 years, this is the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Graham Rahal.
And this is Courtney Force.
And you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Master, what makes a man great?
Close your eyes and tell me what you hear.
I think I hear the rumbling of power, Master.
Oh.
Is that the thunder of destiny calling me to dig deep within to find my own strength?
No, my son, that's just Master Han and his 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey, anyone need anything from the store? Like gum?
The 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Butter?
Nothing sounds like it. Nothing drives like it. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Did you hear about Frank? Arrested for drunk driving? I never would have thought he would make that mistake. He's got a great job and is a terrific dad.
Not all drunk drivers are the same, you know. They can be male or female, all different ages, come from all walks of life.
There are many types of drunk drivers. Some drink and drive rarely, while others do it all the time. That's why we have a variety of strategies to deal with them.
You know, a good friend of mine was charged, and she almost never drinks.
Speak your mind. ChangeTheConversation.ca.
The good people at Jack Links know a thing or two about perfection. And perfection is on full display with their new small batch jerky. Handcrafted and slowly smoked. With savory flavors like teriyaki and peppered, Jack Links small batch will leave you speechless. And probably crying tears of joy. Because it's good. So good. Sometimes the best things in life start small. Try the new small batch bacon jerky. Available in stores now.
Jack Link's beef jerky. Feed your wild side.
This is the ultimate must-have for motorcycle enthusiasts. Tissot is proud to present the T-Race MotoGP Limited Edition 2016 watch. This watch has the precision of the timekeeper, with chronograph functions resembling a bike dashboard and features such as the brake disc bezel and tire tread on the back of the bracelet. Available at your authorized Tissot dealer. For more information, visit TissotWatches.com. That's T-I-S-S-O-T Watches.com. Tissot. Swiss watches since 1853.
Oh, yes, Eric Thomas, Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru with the Raceline Race Wrap. One of those very rare weeks with the big three, F1, NASCAR, Sprint Cup, and IndyCar, all idle race-wise, but off the top. Always incredibly sad when we lose one of our own. 27-year-old Brian Clausen of Noblesville, Indiana, one of the most decorated and accomplished drivers in the history of USAC, succumbed to his injuries in that crash at last week's Belleville Midget Nationals in Belleville, Kansas. Clausen was leading, got tangled up with a back marker into the guardrail. He flipped violently several times. Well, his car was on its side. It was T-boned hard in the cockpit area by another car. That driver distraught. He was airlifted to hospital, Clausen was, and passed away early last Monday morning. Clausen became just the sixth driver to score 100 USAC feature victories during a career, youngest to do so. His 112 career USAC wins rank only behind Hall of Famers Rich Vogler, A.J. Foyt, Sleepy Tripp, and Mel Kenyon. He ran three Indy 500s and led some laps as well. He had some NASCAR Xfinity Series starts as well. In this interview a few years ago, borrowed from Dirt Track Memories, Clausen talked about his most memorable racing moment.
That would probably be hands down number one. You know, those are two bucket listers, and obviously anybody that won those will probably have those answers or done that. But probably the coolest thing I'd say personally that I've ever done, the first thing that came to mind was winning the sprint car my first sprint car championship in 2012.
Clausen was a highly respected competitor and a fan favorite all over North America. You can contribute to the USAC Benevolent Fund through their website. Godspeed, Brian Clausen. Now, in case you didn't know this, in a horribly ironic twist of fate, the Belleville Nationals had fallen on hard times recently. Short car count, fans weren't there, and the purse was shrinking. And then Dennis Erkenbrack, that's a former basketball coach, just a big fan of the event, went around to farmers and local businessmen, asked for donations of $1,000 each. He got 20 donors. The fans came back, the purse went up, and the car count went to 40 cars. An incredible story with a sad ending nobody could have possibly predicted. NASCAR Xfinity Series at Mid-Ohio, pouring rain, messy, blah. Took a road racer, though, Justin Marks, to navigate in the slop for his first series win, and that's a good thing. Kevin Lacroix from the pole led start to finish. This is NASCAR Canada stuff, of course. His third series victory at Trois-Rivières. Andrew Ranger second. Alex Tagliani third. Same podium as last year. Last week's TSO Talent Watch guest, 16-year-old Caden Lapsevich, was sixth. Jeff Earnhardt, that's the grandson of the late Dale Earnhardt, finished seventh. Sprint Cup notes, Eric Jones, last year's Truck Series champion, currently the top seed in this year's Xfinity Series Chase Grid with three wins, is going to drive the number 77 Toyota for Furniture Row Racing in Cup next year alongside Martin Truex Jr. and his Canadian crew chief, former Raceline Radio guest Cole Pern. Sponsorship from 5-Hour Energy Drink. You know the little bottles? Yeah. Jones, the 20-year-old from Byron, Michigan, one of the stock car racing's fastest rising stars, graduating to the Cup Series after spending just one full season in each of NASCAR's national touring series. Jones also won the Chevy Silverado 250 in the Truck Series at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park Mosport last summer. That's where you've no doubt heard the name. Coming up and get caught up with three-time CASCAR NASCAR Canada Series champion, Mr. David Whitlock. Formula One, Mercedes-Benz Toto Wolff wants to abolish rules and track limits. And I think he's right. The FIA tightening the rules on how far drivers can go off track in the paved runoff areas by imposing drive-thru penalties if they exceed track limits a certain number of times during certain races in certain turns. Wolf says, oh, leave the drivers alone to find the fastest line around the corners. Hear, hear. Wolf feels rule waffling. It's a good word. Reverting back to the old qualifying format after two races, freeing up radio communication halfway through the season, risks alienating fans. And he's right. Who has faith in a sports league who seems to make up the rules as they go along? Just ask NASCAR. IndyCar, Indy 500 winner Alex Rossi, who's also a standby driver in the Manor F1 team in Formula One, is in talks with F1 and IndyCar teams for next year. Rossi, an American, signed a one-year deal in February to race in IndyCar in a joint Andretti-Brian Herta Autosport entry, going on to claim a shock Indy 500 win back in May after missing out on the F1 ride this year. Rossi admits there's a sense of loyalty to Michael Andretti's team in Honda, so he'll likely be back in the same place next year. He says IndyCar competition is fantastic, and he's right, too. Coming up, how IndyCar sponsorships work with Herta Andretti Autosport's own Canadian, David Bowen. NHRA drag racing, well, the rain fouled up Seattle, so the funny car final between Dale Worsham and Ron Capps, and the Top Fuel finale between Antron Brown and Steve Torrence, going to be completed at Brainerd, Minnesota on the 21st. The Pro Stock final between Aaron Strong and Vince Noble will be run at the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis, August 31st to September 5th. The Rally News, a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. Toyota strutting their stuff, claiming their return to the World Rally Championship next year will be in a Yaris. It'll be aerodynamically shocking to competitors. Woo! After an absence of almost 20 years, Toyota has linked up with four-time WRC champ and former Subaru ace Tomi Mäkinen's team to re-enter the WRC wars. Bikes, let's do the World MotoGP thing. The Austrian Grand Prix at Spielberg. Andrea Iannone's first win, leading a Ducati 1-2 with Andrea Dovizioso. Ducati's first win in MotoGP in about 6 years, back to October of 2010. Marquez was fifth despite a dislocated shoulder.
Wow, how does he do that to hold a 43-point lead over Jorge Lorenzo, who finished this race in Austria third? Faces in the pits, the Knoxville Nationals, the biggest race there is for sprint car racing and for the fans and whatever. The Ragin' Cajun, as he's known, Jason Johnson, outbattled Donnie Schatz for the win in a thriller that had the crowd on its feet. Well, Johnson's win breaks Schatz' Knoxville streak of five in a row. Speaking of Schatz, with his 16 wins so far this year, including Oshkosh in Canada last month, Donnie continues to lead World of Outlaws sprint car points. Heading into the final 2.5 months of the Outlaws schedule, Schatzy, 237 points better than Dave Gravel. Schatz from Minot, North Dakota, and a former Raceline Radio guest, is looking to nail down his eighth World of Outlaws sprint car title. Big thanks to pal Julie Lyshack, PR media kingpin at Subaru, Joe Felstein as well, for the invite out to the Toronto Subaru Club's 2016 Hyper Meet in the corporate office parking lot in Mississauga, and also the Fuji parking lot next door and the roads and streets beside as well. It was huge, parked with a Subaru Raceline BRZ Special Events Cruiser alongside hundreds of gleaming Subarus of every description, with a focus certainly on WRX's STIs, the high-performance stuff, BRZ in there as well, of course. Grand time had by all. The Sub world is vibrant, gorgeous, and intensely popular, but you already knew that, didn't you? That's right. And teams planning on competing in the Pro Stock 250 at Speedway 660 Fredericton next month have a good reason to register their cars early. Track management announcing tire selection will be based on order of registration. When the trailer opens for selection on Saturday, September 3. The first four teams registered will be allowed in the trailer for up to 10 minutes each to choose their sneakers for the big weekend. And that's it for this week on the Race Wrap. Share your ideas, thoughts, and opinions with fellow fans across this network. Your comments could win you the grand prize in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. We get to your entries shortly. But Lisa, it's pit stop time coming up. Getting reacquainted with three-time CASCAR NASCAR Canada champ, good guy David Whitlock. But inside today's IndyCar team sponsorships with Canada's David Bowen. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. See your local Subaru dealer for a performance drive today along the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jeff Gordon. Raceline Radio returns in a moment.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
This is the Raceline Radio Network. Eric Thomas in your ears. Check out our Raceline Radio Network Facebook page when you have a chance. Lots up there. You can also follow us on Twitter at ET Raceline. Well, last week we introduced you to 16-year young Caden Lapcevich of Grimsby, rookie all-star already in the NASCAR Pinty Series. But let's now go back a generation, a while back. Miss Janice and I ran into one of the old guard from the old CASCAR ACT days, three-time CASCAR champion David Whitlock of Petrolia, Wyoming, Ontario, in 1070 AM and 103.9 FM CHOK Sarnia coverage. As he battles, while he enters the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame, he's waging another battle, the biggest of his life, the most important of his life, too. Getting caught up with David Whitlock on Raceline Radio.
You know, 19 wins, 12 poles, three CASCAR championships of the 90s, the first driver ever to go back-to-back with titles, first to win three, in actual fact. Your ACT adventures with Tom Curley and friends. You look back, you've got to be very proud of your record, proud of your accomplishments, right?
Oh, yes, for sure. A lot of good times. A lot of traveling up and down the highway and a lot of hours in the shop. But at the end of the day, you look back at it, sure, it's a great amount of fun. And those achievements just cap it all off.
Can you remember what might have been your proudest moment in your career? I mean, so many accomplishments. 24 years is a long time, David. But can you look back at one particular episode that you say to yourself, yeah, that was probably the capper of the whole thing?
If I had to pick one, it would probably be winning the Oxford 250.
Right.
We put a lot of effort into that, and that was kind of, the biggest short track race in the country, really,
right.
Back
yep.
At the time. And, some other great drivers have won it, like Junior Hanley and Derek Lynch, and the list goes on and on. Like,
yeah.
A lot of big drivers came and ran that race. So that was, I guess, the single biggest improvement. But then, the CASCAR championships were ranked right up there as well, obviously. It's just that was a single single race day event, but, you know, the championships were whole seasons worth of effort going into them, so they were awesome accomplishments too.
David Whitlock, three-time CASCAR, now NASCAR Canada Series champion, former American-Canadian Tour Driver of the Year on Raceline Radio. You look at what CASCAR became, Dave, now badged NASCAR, and some of your old rivals are still there thrashing away, guys like Dilly and Mix. Ever say to yourself, man, I'd like to get back there and have another go with those guys?
No, the thought hasn't really crossed my mind,
okay,
Eric. It's, you know, you do miss the driving for sure, but, you know, I had 24, 25 good years doing it, and still a race fan. I follow the races, you know, every weekend. And
Good.
Big fan, but don't really have the itch to get back in the seat. I mean, I would maybe under different circumstances, but not anymore.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. What do you remember most about the ACT Tour, the American-Canadian Tour, running against guys you mentioned? Junior Hanley, Robbie Crouch was there, Harmon Beaver, Dragon. The fans have great memories of those wars. What about you?
Oh, yeah, great. Those were awesome days and really great racing. You know, just as competitive a short track racing as you can get. You know, Kevin LePage went on up and ran the Busch Series, and you know, many other, like you said, Robbie Crouch, Dave Dion, Hanley.
Yep.
Just a ton of great names in that series, and you know, Curly just put on such a heck of a show, and it was all it was short track racing at its best, and those were definitely the glory days, that's for sure.
Yeah, they were great battles. But now you've got another battle on your hands, another race with your own health. You don't mind talking about it. Tell us about your fight with Parkinson's, David.
Yeah, well, I was diagnosed in 2006, actually, like 3 years before I finished up racing.
And, right.
So I did race the last 3 years, you know, with it. But then it was just getting difficult, you know, to get in and out of the car and you know, your body and muscles just don't function like they once did. So it got a little more difficult. So that's why we decided 2009 was the last year I was going to race. And going out in 2009 and winning that first race at St. Eustache, that was a super accomplishment. I was pretty proud of that.
Absolutely. And, of course, your induction coming up to the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame to cap that off. What an honor that is, Dave.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, that caught me by surprise a little bit. I was, you know, you always kind of maybe think or wonder whether you're going to get there, but
yep.
It was a great honor to get the phone call and say I was being inducted this fall. And, yeah, super, super happy about that. That's you know, unbelievable way to cap off your career, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sure is, and very, very deserving, if I do say so myself, and I know everyone listening to this would certainly agree with that. Good to hear that the fight is there, David. Great running into you after all these years, and good to get caught up with you all the way on your health fight. Good thoughts. Thank you for joining us. Congrats on the Hall of Fame induction. I know your fans really, really enjoyed hearing from you again.
Right on. That's great. Thanks for looking me up, Eric, and it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
What a good guy, and for 24 years, one of the best short-track late-model stock car racers in this country and the U.S. Northeast, and he fights Parkinson's disease. David stays vital, running D&D Contracting, building all kinds of great things all over Ontario. Nice to speak again with soon-to-be Canadian Motorsport Hall of Famer David Whitlock on Raceline Radio. All right, Lisa, the pit stop before we play the game, the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, then Canada's David Bowen on the ins and outs of IndyCar sponsorship. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Matt Kenseth, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline Radio Network is Canada's national radio motorsport authority. I'm Eric Thomas. Check out my Thomas Tales blog on the Canadian Motor Speedway website, my Thomas Tales columns coming up in Inside Track, Motorsport News Magazine, and on the web on the Raceline page at Sportsnet Raceline.ca. Here we go again with our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Your chance to win the grand prize pack. We ask you Subaru trivia questions. Have to include the answer to those questions in your email of commentary to qualify to go into the break drum for the official draw to win the prize pack. Winning entry is drawn at random at the end of the on-track racing season. And the winner claims the prize pack loaded up with all kinds of good stuff and goodies from Subaru. It's just that simple. The BRZ Sports Coupe, of course, is the official Raceline Radio Network special events cruiser this summer. So the question is this one. The four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, right? Give me the peak horsepower of that motor and at what RPM is it achieved? I'll ask it again, okay? The four-cylinder Subaru Boxer engine that powers the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. I need the peak horsepower of that engine and at what RPM, revolutions per minute, you knew that, is that horsepower attained, okay? Use Eric at racelineradio.ca, Eric at racelineradio.ca to get your email in here. You spell Eric with a capital E, small k, and no space between Raceline and Radio. Well, we got a lot of entries here, but I want to talk about something. I want to get on the soapbox here, and I hope I don't get too angry. You've heard me talk about Merrittville Speedway in St. Catharines, and they happen to be in our local jurisdiction. They work with us, along with Ransomville Speedway and Humberstone Speedways, on Newstalk 610, CKTB in St. Catharines, just around the corner from where I live. But there's a situation there that this warrants national coverage, because at 65 years, and this is their 65th consecutive season of operation, it is the oldest dirt track and longest operating dirt track in Canada. But this season, 2016, may be their last, at least under the current ownership of the Bicknell family and the Williamson families, who have run it for 14 years and saved it from extinction. And you know the reason why that's happening? Because of the ignorance of some drivers and some fans, and that ticks me off big time. Erica Bicknell is the son of Pete Bicknell. She was in the medical field, had no real desire to general manage the speedway, but she was pressed into service at a moment's notice and ran that place. I mean, no one's perfect. Every once in a while you make a mistake, but you know something? For the most part, the management was pretty darn solid. But now she's 36. She's leaving a once enjoyable job, always demanding in terms of workload, has changed with track officials getting less and less respect over the years. Most of it from drivers and some of it from fans. To quote Erica, she says, "The beginning after the track was saved, there was a lot of respect for each other. But that respect has disappeared, and that's why she's leaving. And that shouldn't happen." People have made complaints personal, and that's what kills me. And a lot of it's done on their message board, with cowards hiding behind pseudonyms and fake names. And you make the complaints personal. And all you've done is make Erica choose another line of work. At least she's going to stay in the family business that we know of. But she's not going to manage the track anymore. And that's no reason for someone to stop doing that. She says, "I'm worried about the direction the sport is heading, and I can't disagree with her at all. The general disrespect being the number one target for complaints, sometimes in abusive language, as the track's top official had Bicknell Jones thinking about stepping down as far back as May. It takes the wind out of your sails. I give my heart and soul to this track. Pointing out the work week can be as long as 75 hours and all these personal attacks. And the thing that gets me too is drivers who don't agree with the scoring and go by and give the finger to the staff and the scoring staff in the tower, showing them up in front of the fans. You don't do that unless you're a bush leaguer. And you don't go and confront them in the office later and do kind stuff that you should probably be arrested for. And you're going to force her out of the business because of your ignorance. You know what's going to happen? If they can't find a buyer for the track, they're going to padlock the damn place. Are you going to be happy when that happens? All the damn whining and caterwauling gets you nowhere. And you know that, but you know something? It makes good people forget about the sport and get out of the sport, and that's wrong, patently wrong. You got to think about it. Use your brain if you have one before you open your stupid mouth and make comments and complaints when many of them aren't warranted. No, they're not going to get all the calls right all the time, but they're going to get most of them right most of the time. And your constant belly aching and caterwauling and complaining, and some of it is personal, as Erica points out, it's not warranted. It's not necessary. It's going to force good people out of the business, and you may find your local speedway padlocked because of it. And it's not just Merrittville. You're probably aware of similar situations up and down the network, and it just shouldn't happen. Anyway, what do you think? Send me your comments. eric@racelineradio.ca as well. Answer the trivia question, too. You want to enter the contest. Four-cylinder Subaru boxer engine in the BRZ, peak horsepower, and at what RPM? Use eric@racelineradio.ca to connect with your email, your comments. What do you think about this situation? And people forcing people out of business, which should never, ever, 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 ever happen. Pit stop time again, Lisa. Then the inner workings of today's IndyCar sponsorship with Canada's David Bowen of, well, Herta Andretti. And I'll try to calm down. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. Test drive a BRZ Sports Coupe today for the ultimate in performance handling. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Danica Patrick, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority, Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. We hear the word money used in the sport a lot, especially in IndyCar, Formula One. So-and-so brings money from a sponsor, so Bob Hudat gets the ride. But how do current IndyCar sponsorships and partnerships actually work these days? The somewhat involved process examined in detail by Toronto's Bowen & Bowers Motorsports. They work with Herta Andretti and Indianapolis 500 winner Alex Rossi. David Bowen is with us on Raceline Radio.
There is a real science to making sure you have the funding to do this.
Oh, sure. You know, if you look back, you know, even as far back as the mid-90s, it was a lot more about just branding on the car.
Yeah.
However, today, and in the environment that Brian and I have created, we focus more on a business-to-business environment. We try to find partners that, at the end of the day, we create a less pressure business-to-business environment behind the scenes. And so that's really how we've been able to survive. I would say that, quite honestly, the sticker on the car is about 5% of the overall program, and the other 95% happens behind the scenes.
Well, I think that's one of the misconceptions for fans. Is, I mean, it's cool to be involved with the sport, and if the guy who's in the president of ABC Widgets is a race fan, that helps. But unless this program helps him sell more widgets, it doesn't work.
We don't survive unless we're helping to increase their business overall. At the end of the day, the most important thing for us is to have our sponsors come back to us and they can show return on investment. And being able to measure that success ultimately, or the way we measure that success, no matter what happens on the track, it's all about what happens for them off the track through incremental sales.
When you go to a sponsor and they say, okay, well, how many people are going to see this logo? I mean, Joyce Julius and Associates used to do the stopwatch thing in front of the TV camera and say, well, you've got so many minutes of impressions per your logo. Is that still the basic formulae to tell a sponsor or a prospective sponsor where the value actually is?
It's still part of it.
Yeah.
I would suggest that in our environment here, the majority of it happens on from a business-to-business perspective.
Okay.
If you look at the brands that we have on our cars, typically they're more commercial-related than they are consumer-retail-related.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Although there is a branding effect, we do have the eyeballs around the Indy 500 is obviously our largest and biggest event of the year.
Sure.
And, you know, being candid and being honest, we don't have the NASCAR eyeballs from a consumer perspective, so we have to take a different approach. And our approach has typically been the business-to-business side. If you look, take, for example, Castrol. Castrol's with us. However, the environment and the opportunities we've created for them are purely business-to-business, with whether it be in the Honda space, whether it be with other sponsors.
You introduce them to other people they can do business with.
That's it. Exactly. So we create, behind the scenes, we create this, what we call a less-pressure business environment through our hospitality programs. We generate, we're quite proud of it all overall at Andretti, our business-to-business opportunities. You know, in our paddock, we have over about 60 different partners that they can intermingle with each other, co-mingle on weekends, and, you know, and find a way to do business post-race.
Let me ask a layman's question, because I get asked this by fans all the time. They see, let's just take one of the cars. What does it cost a sponsor to get the primary sponsorship on that car for one IndyCar season? What kind of bill are we looking at? I don't want you to tell any trade secrets or, you know, blow any confidentialities here. I know it's a loaded question, but I get asked that. How much does it cost? I mean, what do you have to spend? I mean, some companies are really out there in the wilderness when they think, well, I'll give them $5,000 and I'll get my name all over the car. That ain't going to fly. What kind of dollar range? Maybe that's the better question. What's the dollar range?
Well, I think That is a bit of a loaded question, yeah, because there aren't many parameters that ultimately you come up with that final number. I think a lot of it depends on the overall activation program that's associated with it. I think a lot of it depends on the overall, you know, what the overall objective is,
sure,
what assets we have to put into it. But I think just in IndyCar in general, it depending on the team up and down the paddock, but it's about a mid seven-figure investment.
Yeah.
You know, I'd hate to go out and put a number, but you're into the, you know, you're into the seven figures to be a primary for the season. Ultimately, though, if you're making that type of investment, I suspect that the formula that we've put together is designed to show you return on that investment. So
yeah,
we hear about, you know, bad economy in the States, bad economy, and listen, I'm on the radio side, and you listen to the show, and I'm flattered that you do, but we're in the same business you are. We have to go out and beat the same weeds to try and get sponsorship to keep us on the air, and luckily enough with people like Subaru and Tiso and others that have been with us the entire 24-year run of the program. What's the climate like out there? And there's a different climate north of the border and a different climate below the border, and we'll elaborate on that in a second here. What's the climate like for your business right now in this country?
Well, overall, the climate's tough. I don't think it matters which sport you're in, whether you're MLB, NBA, NFL, or IndyCar. The reality of it is, I think no matter what the environment is, if you're able to provide and put together the proposal that's going to show them a return on investment, that's the number one key. The days, you know, I grew up here in Toronto, very proud of that fact, but I grew up here in Toronto in the days of, you know, really all we had here in Canada were the Toronto Maple Leafs,
the Argos
in Toronto, the Canadian Football League. Yep. So, but nowadays we're competing not only with the other sports or major sports in this city, but we're also competing for that overall entertainment dollar, right? It's no different. We're competing for those tickets to Phantom of the Opera or the over in the Entertainment District, or we're competing with baseball. So for us, and ultimately, given that we only have one race here in Toronto, we are a one-off event here, so we're competing with everybody else.
It would help to have more in Canada. And, of course, we used to have Vancouver, we used to have Edmonton, we used to have Montreal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, that is a vision that IndyCar has. IndyCar, you know, if you look at the races that we have on the IndyCar, you know, on the overall schedule, some of the most successful races in the past have been Vancouver, Toronto, Edmonton. Yeah.
David Bowen with Herta Motorsports, associated with Andretti Autosport on the commercial sponsorship side. A phenomenon takes place that I realized early on. It's just because a company is so vibrant and so involved with the sport in the U.S. doesn't necessarily mean it automatically translates to that same company's Canadian division north of the border. And you get all kinds of examples, and I'm not going to run them down now, but just because someone is really heavy into NASCAR in the U.S. doesn't mean they're heavy into racing of any kind north of the border. Why does that happen, David?
Well, I don't have the exact answer for you there, but one of the things, I can go back to the late 90s when I was working with a marketing and promotions company, and often the companies that we dealt with here from a packaged goods perspective were subs of U.S. companies. Number two, I think what we're dealing with in Canada is a completely different population base, culture base. So
you don't believe that racing is as important in this country on the population base fraction than it is in the U.S.? I mean, we're not as big population-wise. Is it that cut and dry? I know there's variables.
No, I don't think it's that cut and dry. Yeah. I think that, you know, if you look at from a Canadian perspective, and I grew up here doing what everybody else did, playing hockey, you know, but I think there is a great motorsport history here.
Sure,
you can go back to, you know, especially on the open wheel side, you know, when you go
road
back,
racing.
Road racing, yeah. And
stock car racing too.
Stock car racing as well. But
drag racing too.
Yeah.
Run them all down.
Bikes. There's a great history of racing here, but, you know, racing just at the top tier isn't as visible as it once was up here, right? I mean, like you said before, when we had Vancouver, then we had Edmonton and Toronto.
Yeah. You know, it's regressed in its exposure.
Champ Car used to race in Montreal as well.
Yep.
So there was much more racing going on. At the same time, from a business perspective, you had more of a coast-to-coast feel as well.
And what do we need to do? Get more races, more to keep the profile going? I mean, I'm out there thrashing, you're out there thrashing. You know, is it going to get better? Is it getting better, I guess, is the next question.
Well, I guess you're asking me to predict the future a little bit, but I think...
Use your crystal ball.
My crystal ball is telling me that there are ongoing efforts to try and find and trying to put one, if not two more IndyCar races.
Calgary's one of them, I know.
Yeah, Calgary, which you're aware of there. You know, we constantly hear the rumors of Montreal. The fact is, the more races that we have here in Canada, the more, I think, appealing it will become to
higher profile. Too.
Higher profile.
I'm glad we had this conversation. It's been fascinating because we don't examine the business side of this sport enough, even though it affects us every day. Every week we do the show, and the show's been around for 24 years, but, you know, the racing organization on your side is the same kind of thing. Thank you so much for this time here, and we're going to get you on again to talk some more about it, but without what you do, what I do is impossible. So we're kind of in cahoots that way, which is great. Dave, thanks so much for this. It's been a fascinating discussion.
Well, thanks very much, Eric, and thank you for all your support and what you do for racing in Canada, and certainly keeping us front and center on over 16 radio stations, I believe it is, across the country, and I appreciate your support.
Canada's David Bowen, Herta Andretti Autosport, and a lesson in modern-day IndyCar sponsorship and partnerships on Raceline Radio that filters down even to the regional series. It ain't easy, no, but as the saying goes, if it was easy, everybody be doing it. All right, Lisa, let's fire off the final stop, and then we'll come back and wrap up next week's show and more on the last lap. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru, powered with a heart-pounding turbocharged WRX STI on the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Richard Petty. We're coming right back on Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
Thomas, Raceline across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. The white flag is unfurled. That signals we're on the last lap. So here's what we want to do for you next week in a detailed examination of F1 during their summer break before the 9 races on the schedule, to finish it off with Inside Track Motorsport News editor and F1 specialist James Nielsen. And we just might break our very own record for the youngest driver ever interviewed on the TSO Talent Watch, 15-year-old Ottawa area dirt sportsman driver Susie Roy. Plus more of your entries for the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Enormous Raceline thanks going out to the two Davids, Whitlock and Bowen, and Dirt Track Memories Video. Thanks to Supreme Commander Lisa Pileski and Vic Politian for ops and pre- and post-production, and to our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest players and qualifiers. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, has been driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI 11-time Canadian Rally Manufacturers Champion, and by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe, engineered to excite. Talk to y'all again next week, right here on Raceline Radio.